I'm not sure if you heard this, but a burglar broke into a house one night. He shone his flashlight around looking for valuables. And when he picked up some jewelry to place in his pack, a strange disembodied voice echoed from the dark saying, "Jesus is watching you." Totally freaked out, he jumped out of his skin. When he heard nothing more after a bit, he shook his head, promised himself a really cool vacation after the next big score, and then began searching for some more valuables. Just as he was placing an expensive figurine into his backpack, clear as a bell, he heard the voice again. "Jesus is watching you." Heart racing, skin tingling, he shone his light around frantically looking for the source of the voice. Finally, in the corner of the room, his flashlight beam came to rest on a parrot. He looked at the bird and he said, "Did you say that?" "Yes," the parrot confessed, and then squawked, "Just warning you." The burglar relaxed. "Warn me, huh? Who in the world are you?" "Moses," replied the bird. "Moses," the burglar laughed. "What kind of people would name a bird Moses?" The bird replied, "The same kind of people that would name their pit bull Jesus." Last week, we launched our new series, Living a Jesus-Shaped Life, where we're taking a closer look at how Jesus lived his life while on earth. And one of the things that we talked about last week was that Jesus was very intentional about living in three directions or in three dimensions. And his life took on a certain rhythm. He lived up in relationship with his Father. He lived in relationship with his disciples and his closest followers. And then he lived out in serving and impacting the world. Jesus' life had this very intentional rhythm, up, in, and out. And what we're going to be looking at in this series is how we can more and more move towards these rhythms and having a life shaped by Jesus, the most dynamic, attractive, and genuinely good human being, the Son of God, who ever walked the face of this earth. His life is one worth imitating. Someone once put the impact of Jesus' life this way. He was born in an obscure village, the child of a peasant woman. He grew up in another obscure village where he worked in a carpenter shop until he was 30. Then for 3 years, he was an itinerant preacher. He never wrote a book. He never held an office. He never had a family or owned a house. He did not go to college. He never visited a big city. He never traveled more than 200 miles from the place where he was born. He had none of those things that one usually associates with grace, with greatness. He had no credentials but himself. He was only 33 when public opinion turned against him. His friends ran away. He was turned over to his enemies. And he went through the mockery of a trial. He was nailed to a cross between two thieves. While he was dying, his executioners gambled for his clothing, the only property he had on earth. When he was dead, he was laid in a borrowed grave through the pity of a friend. 20 centuries have come and gone, and today Jesus is the central figure of the human race and the leader of humankind's progress. All the armies that have ever marched, all the navies that have ever set sail, all the parliaments that have ever sat, all the kings that ever reigned put together have not affected the life of humankind on earth as powerfully as that one solitary life. We do well to take a closer look at the life of Jesus, why his life was so impactful, and why his life is truly one worth imitating. Now, that's one way I can frame our whole series. Another way I could frame it would be this way. In life, we are on a constant journey from here to there. There's where we are, and there's where we want to go. How do we get from where we are to where we want to go? For instance, how do I get from being in bad shape to being in good shape one day? How do I get from being in debt to having a healthy financial picture? Or in your marriage, you're wondering how you get from feeling alone to feeling really connected and deeply in love. Or if you're single and you want to be married, how do you get from where you are, single, to being married? Or if you have no children, you're married, you have no children, you're wondering how you get from here, from having no children, to there, having children in the house. There's some things you can do, but you're just wondering how you do that, right? Or if you have children in the house, there is wanting the kids out of the house, right? Whatever it is, we are on this journey. This is just part of being human. We're on a move from here to there. And so we have to ask ourselves, what is there? What does it look like? And am I really committed to do what it takes to get there? Whether it's at work, whether it's at home, whether it's in the community, whether it's in my spiritual life. It's interesting, God's people have always been on a journey from here to there, the Bible tells us. Early on, God comes to a guy called Abraham and says, I want you to leave your homeland, Abraham. I want you to leave Ur of the Chaldees, and I want you to go there. I'll tell you where there is. It's Canaan. Then God comes to Moses, and he says, Moses, I want you to take my people from here, from slavery and bondage in Egypt, to there, to freedom in a land that I promised your forefather Abraham. And then God comes to a man called Joshua after the people had wandered in the desert for 40 years after their exodus from Egypt. And he says to them, I want you to go from here, from the east side of the Jordan River to there, the promised land on the west side of the Jordan, where my people will make their home. Or many, many years later, when the people were living in exile in Babylon, God comes to them. He sees them in their plight and he says, I want to take you from here to there. I want to take you home. So this journey from here to there in the Bible is not only about geography. It's ultimately spiritual in nature. From who we are right now to who God wants us to be. It's a journey from bondage to freedom. From despair to hope. From doubt to faith. From fear to courage. From sin to obedience. And ultimately, it's a journey from death to life. So that's what we're going to be looking at this fall. How do we get from here to there in our lives as individuals? And how can each of us evermore lean into living this life shaped by Jesus? But it's true for us as a church as well. How do we get from where we are to where we want to be? There's a there that God is calling us to, not just as individuals, but as a community of faith. Right now, anytime you take a trip of any significant length and you're driving in a car, if you have little kids in the car, what's the first question that they ask about 10 minutes into the trip? Are we there yet? My kids didn't ask that question. They said, are we at McDonald's yet? But normal kids say, are we there yet? Because we want to know where we're going. Are we there? There for us as individuals is a life shaped by Jesus. There for us at Grace Point is realizing our vision of becoming a life-changing community of God's love and grace for the world. As individuals, we want to live up in relationship to the Father, in relationship to fellow believers, out in impact to the world. And it's captured for us in our vision statement as well. We want to be a community where life change happens in. And that community is to be characterized by God's love and grace up as we live to impact our world. So this morning, we want to take a look at the up dimension in particular. But let me just introduce the there for all three. Around the up dimension, there looks like this. That those in this community who have made a commitment to Christ and have devoted themselves to following Him live in deep connection with Him as their closest friend. That they love Him with all their heart, all their soul, all their mind, all their strength. And that their lives evermore begin to resemble that of Jesus. That they spend time with Jesus, to learn from Jesus, to become like Jesus, to do what Jesus did. And when it comes to the in dimension of our life together, there means living in authentic community. And that those who spend any kind of time with us here at Grace Point, that they would encounter us in such a way that when they leave, they would say, I have never met a people who love like, who show grace like, who care like that. Very practically speaking, they'd say after having been a guest with us on Sunday morning, that was the most welcoming and friendly group of people I have ever met. I felt really embraced. In this kind of a community, there's no pretending. There's no trying to impress anyone. It's just courageous transparency. And when it comes to living out as a community, there means grace-filled workplaces, joy-filled community participation, love-filled families, so that the places that you go as one who is living a Jesus-shaped life, that those places are ever more permeated by the presence and peace of Christ because you are there and God's Spirit is at work in you and through you. So this morning, what we want to do is we want to take a look at the up dimension of Jesus' life, what He taught us on how to nurture our relationship with our Heavenly Father. We want to take a look at how He lived in relationship with His Heavenly. And as we talked last week, any cursory read of the Gospels in the New Testament of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John show that Jesus deliberately spent time in God's presence every day. He took time to communicate with His Father. He took time to pray. Now, we often think of prayer of connecting with God as some kind of a duty that if we're not doing it, we can get guilt feelings about, or we feel like we're never doing enough of it. But Jesus doesn't want us to feel this way. It's not about feeling guilty. And he exploded many myths about prayer, about connecting with God in his day. I invite you to take your Bibles to hand and follow along with me as we work our way through a passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 6. And I'll be reading from the Message translation this morning. Picking it up at verse 7, this is what Jesus says. The world is so full of so-called prayer warriors who are prayer ignorant. They're full of formulas and programs and advice, peddling techniques for getting what you want from God. In other words, it's a transactional type of relationship. You pray a certain way and God is bound to give you certain things, kind of like he's a genie. And Jesus says, don't fall for that nonsense. Jesus said that some 2,000 years ago, but it's still relevant today because there are many books, magazines, seminars, self-help articles that teach you that if you just pray a certain way or perform certain rituals, you'll get on God's good side and you'll get from him whatever it is that you're asking. A supermarket tabloid once read, believe this or not, said Bible prayers to flush out body fat. It said, you can lose 10, 20, 30 pounds or more with Bible prayers that are guaranteed to flush out body fat for eternity. For eternity. I'm not planning on taking my fat with me into eternity. It's not about monitoring your diet or about getting enough exercise. You can eat anything you want. Just pray a certain prayer and the fat will just drip away. Really? I think that's what Jesus was talking about when he said they're full of programs and formulas and advice, peddling techniques of getting what you want from God. Don't fall for that nonsense. So today I'm going to challenge you to toss out all your old misconceptions about how to make contact with God, how to connect with God, all the rituals, all the ideas that you might have about prayer that might not necessarily align with what Jesus teaches us. We're going to take a look this morning at how we can connect with God. And this truly is the most important thing in life, connecting with God. If we don't get this, we've actually missed the point of our journey. We were created to connect with God. And some of you here this morning, you might think, well, that's been reserved for special people. Or that you feel like you're not cut out for that. Maybe you think it's too complex or it's too difficult or somehow you don't deserve to connect with God. Well, actually, it's not complex at all. It's not complicated. And it's something that each of us can do. So take your outlines to hand and make a note of these four things as we look forward to practicing these things this week. The first step to connecting with God is that each of us needs to take time to be still in God's presence. Psalm 46 says, be still and know that I am God. Some of the other translations say, cease striving or let go of your concerns and you will know that I am God. You know, we read that today and it seems kind of antiquated for some of us. Be still. In this day and age, the fast-paced and busy lifestyle that I live, I'm supposed to be still. Are you serious? But this is what God says. It's the first step in really connecting with him. Be still in my presence and know that I am God. He gives us an illustration of this in Psalm 131, where the writer there says, I have stilled and quieted myself. It's something that he does. I've stilled and quieted myself, just as a small child is quiet with its mother. Right? This is a picture that we've seen of a little baby or of a toddler who's being held by someone else, someone other than its mother. The baby's kind of fussy and it doesn't want to settle down in any way. No matter what that person does to try to settle that child, that little one's not going to be quiet. And then all of a sudden the mother walks in the room. Smiles, holds out her hands, her arms, and the baby comes to the mother, snuggles up close to her, and almost instantly settles itself. It's quiet, it's peaceful, it's still. God says in that passage, when you come to me in prayer and you quiet yourself, you will experience peace. You and I do well to schedule daily times of quiet into our busy lives so that we can meet with our Father. There has to be something in our schedule where we take a break from our normal routine, where we carve out some time to linger in our Father's presence. Jesus did this on a regular basis. We talked about this last week as we took a look at the up dimension in an introductory way in Jesus' life, how it says he often slipped away to quiet places, to solitary places, so that he could pray. If Jesus, the Son of God, took time to get away from his normal routine, from the busyness of ministry, to have quiet before his God. How much more do you and I need to do this? So I'm going to challenge you. If you're not doing it already, if it's not a part of your regular rhythm for life, set aside 15, 20 minutes every day. Listen, the length of a sitcom, 22 minutes, where you get into Father's presence, where there are no other noises, no other sounds, no other distractions, just you and your Heavenly Father. You need that. We all need to have minutes in our day, hours in our week that are just devoted to quietness and stillness in our Father's presence. And maybe once a month, you take half a day or a whole day away so you can be alone with your Father. But the most important thing is to find ways in your daily life to be quiet. Moments that you've planned into your life, in the middle of all that's going on in your life, that you take time to connect and center on your Father. And God has given us so many different ways to do that. We ultimately know that we can have this connection because of Jesus Christ. The way to connect to God is salvation through Jesus Christ. You can't come to God any other way than through Jesus Christ. But once you are a believer, once you are a person of faith, there are different ways to connect with your Father, different ways to worship Him. And we need to find out what they are and celebrate them. One of the ways that God has given to many people is a love for nature. When they're out in nature, they feel close to God. When they're out in their garden, they feel connected to Him. It's not really unusual. It's the beauty and the majesty of what He's made. God has made some of you to love art. You worship God with your senses and connect with Him that way. Color and form and shape come to life and bring life to you. Some of you, you connect best with the Father through music, the lyrics, the tune, the crescendo, the decrescendos, the movement and the beauty of the sound, the senses that you use to connect through music. Suddenly your heart is open to worship. Others of you love ritual and tradition. Some of you, when you create, when you compose, when you build, when you make, when you write, you're connecting with the Father. Others of you love to be in a crowd like this, while others of you love to be alone in solitude and silence. The point is, God has made you unique, and there's a way in which you connect with Him. And He's inviting you into His presence. He's saying, come, still yourself, and know that I am your Father. Be still and know that I am the God. Now, if you really want to make contact with God, not only do you have to take time daily to linger in His presence, to be still, but you also have to be sincere. And this is what Jesus teaches in this passage in Matthew. He's saying you have to be honest. You have to be authentic. You need to be real about how you feel. You need to be genuine. In Jeremiah, we get a glimpse of this already where God says, if you look for me in earnest, you will find me when you seek me. You've got to be earnest. You've got to be genuine about it. It's got to come from your heart. In Jesus' day, there was a group of people who were pros that performed prayers. They were very pious about it. They prayed 3 times a day, at 9, at noon, and at 3. And they always prayed in public so that everybody could see how spiritual, how pious, and how righteous they were. But they were very insincere. In fact, they just did it for show. These guys were called the Pharisees. And Jesus reserved His harshest criticism for them. They were pompous. They were presumptuous. They would pretend like they were talking to God, being connected to God. But they weren't really at all. Because they were just doing it for show. Same prayers, set time, same time of day, cut and dried, no real heart in it. And it was really just a source of pride for them. And Jesus made it very clear that these guys weren't connecting to God. In fact, He made it clear that prayer is not a spectator sport. Prayer is not something you do to be seen or to get people to watch you. Look what He says about the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 6, again from the Message paraphrase. Jesus says, when you come before God, don't turn it into a theatrical production. All these people making a regular show out of their prayers, hoping for stardom. He had the Pharisees in view here. You think God sits in a box seat? No, here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and as honestly as you manage, as you can manage, and the focus will shift from you to God, and you will be able to sense His grace. Right? The two biggest barriers that we have that keep us from connecting to God are trying to impress others and also trying to impress God. We do this sometimes. We think we need to pray what we feel God wants to hear, and we're not being sincere. We're not pouring out our heart. Right? If the first point of connecting with God is don't rush it. Be still in His presence. The second point is don't posture. Tell God exactly what's on your mind. Be authentic. Be real. Be genuine. One of the things that you can do before you pray is to actually take a deep breath. Simply inhale and exhale and center on God. Disconnect from all that's going around you and just focus on Him. Remember also that part of meeting with God is not just talking to Him, but it's listening to, speaking with Him. Take some time to listen to what God might be saying to you as you enjoy the peace of His presence. The third step to connect with God in prayer, Jesus tells us, is this. He says, be simple. In other words, don't get complicated. You don't need to use any fancy words. You don't need to be repetitious. You don't need to use or look for or repeat a certain phrase that you somehow think is going to grant you access to God. There are religions today that teach you that if you repeat a certain word over and over again, that somehow it'll unlock the presence of God. You'll get His attention. Jesus said, this is not true. Check out verse 7 in Matthew. He says, and when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as unbelievers do. They suppose that they will be heard for their many words. The Living Bible translates it, don't recite the same prayer over and over. Right? There's no such thing as a certain word or phrase that will get us to God. It doesn't work that way. When we press on and persevere in prayer, by the way, it's not about trying to get God's attention. It's about us attending to what God might be saying. Prayer isn't about getting God to move over to where we are. What prayer essentially
is moving us to where God is and aligning ourselves with where He's at. There is nothing wrong with asking God over and over for something, as long as we realize again that it's not about getting Him to do what we want, but it's ultimately about us aligning ourselves with Him. And Jesus gave us a very simple pattern to follow when we pray. In Matthew 6, verse 9 to 13, we see Jesus teaching the disciples to pray. They saw how He was connected intimately to the Father, and they said, "Lord, teach us to pray." And throughout time, it's come to be called the Lord's Prayer. And He said this, follow along as I read in the Message translation. With a loving God like this, you can pray very simply. Our Father in heaven, reveal who You are. Set the world right. Do what's best. As above, so below. Keep us alive with 3 square meals. Keep us forgiven with You and forgiving others. Keep us safe from ourselves and the devil. You're in charge. So Jesus starts out by saying we enter into our Father's presence. You call Him our Father. We're to come to Him in a way that a child comes to a loving father, knowing that the Father cares and loves that child. He's our Father. And as our Father, we invite Him to reveal Himself to us. Reveal to us who You are. I need to remember that God is in heaven, and as such, His perspective on my life and on what's going on in this world is huge. And I can't see what He sees. I can't know what He knows. But because God is in heaven, from that vantage point, He can see all that needs to be done, not just in my life, but in this world. And I invite Him to reveal that to me. And the prayer goes on, set the world right. Do what's best. Your kingdom come, Your will be done. As above, so below. God's will is perfect. And He's clear that in connecting with Him, I have an opportunity to surrender my will, to surrender my agenda, to surrender my life to a loving Father. And there's no risk there because He loves me and He cares for me like no other. And the prayer goes on, give us this day our daily bread. Keep us alive with 3 square meals. Obviously, we all want our physical needs to be met. All of us care whether there's a roof over our head, food in our fridge, clothes on our back. These are things that matter to God. He cares about those things. And He says, God will take care of you. But God also cares about your emotional needs, your spiritual needs. He cares about what's going on in our hearts. He's a caring Father, and He provides for us. Keep us forgiven with You and forgiving others. The time of connecting in prayer with God is a time to ask for forgiveness, a time to think about who it is that we need to ask for forgiveness or forgive if we've been wrong. Prayer softens our heart as we pray for other people. Are you upset or angry with someone? Do you feel that you've been wronged by them? Pray for them and watch what happens to your heart. I'm pretty sure that some of you are not praying as much as you used to or aren't even praying at all right now because you're angry or upset with someone. And you're having a hard time praying because you know that when you go to God in prayer, He's going to ask you to forgive that person. And you don't feel quite ready. Part of connecting with God is that we come before Him and get clean and stay clean with Him. Then it goes on to say, keep us safe from ourselves and the devil. Have you found that at times in life you are your own worst enemy? I know I'm my own worst enemy. Most times I don't even have to worry about the schemes of the evil one because it's easy enough for me to get into trouble on my own. I'm the one who can hold on to resentment. I'm the one who can show a lack of discipline. I'm the one who can say things I shouldn't say. That's me doing that. That's on me. And God says, talk to me about that in prayer. And then He says, and keep us safe from the evil one. Jesus says that we are to pray for protection from him. We're in a battle and there's a lot at stake. If you know Jesus Christ, you don't need to worry. You are on the winning side. You will conquer and you will win. You are under Christ's care and under his protection. God will protect you from the schemes of the evil one, but you still need to pray for it. You still need to pray about it. And when Jesus closes this model prayer, this very simple way of teaching us to pray, he says, close this way. Say, God, you're in charge. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. When Jesus himself was about to face his most difficult moment, the crucifixion, as he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he closed his most painful prayer with this. God, if there is any other way for salvation to come to this world, other than me going to the cross, please let it happen. But if there isn't, your will be done. So as you close every prayer, it's a really good reminder to say to yourself, God, you are in charge. I've laid before you the things that matter to me. I've talked to you about the things that are concerning me. I've said it to you, but you're in charge. Your will be done. It's not complicated. It's not complex. It's very simple. It's us coming to our loving Father, committing to honoring him, telling him what we need, and then surrendering our lives to him. So be simple in your connections with God. And as we close this morning, connecting with God is about being still, being sincere, being simple. That's all God asks. And then one other thing. We need to believe that God will answer. There are 2 essentials of getting an answer to your prayer. That's God's grace and your faith. You put your faith in God's grace. Grace is God's gift to you. Look at what the writer of Hebrews says. It says, let us approach the throne of grace, God's throne, with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. The Bible says that we can come to our Father confidently. He's our Father. And we're not confident in our own goodness. We're not good enough. We're not confident that we deserve it or that we've earned it in some way. Our confidence is in God's grace through Jesus Christ. Our confidence is based on what Jesus Christ has done for us. We've been given access to our Father based on what Christ has done. It's not based on our own merit. It's based on what Jesus has done. And it's in His name that we come before the Father. And that's, by the way, why we pray in Jesus' name. We make the requests that we do, not because we deserve it in any way, but because of what Jesus has done. You may feel this morning that you don't deserve to have a personal relationship with God. You might be sitting there thinking, you know, I know all that I've done wrong. God wouldn't be interested in me because of what I have done. I'm not sure God cares about me. I don't deserve that kind of a relationship. I'm not really worthy of connecting with God. Well, the truth is, you're right. None of us are. It's a gift of grace. But no matter what you've done, you can take the first step in connecting with God today. Hebrews 11 tells us anyone who comes to God must believe that He is real and that He rewards those who truly want to find Him. Let's pray. If you want to connect with God, which is the most important thing in life, I invite you to follow me in this prayer. You can say, Heavenly Father, I have to admit that much of the time I feel disconnected from You. In fact, I often completely forget about You as I walk through my day and hurry through my schedule. But I want that to change starting today. I don't want to pray insincere prayers or use overworked cliches. Help me to remember that prayer is simply a conversation with You. And I want to be connected to You, and I want to feel connected to You. And I realize that I could never deserve this or earn this, but it's a matter of Your gift of grace through Jesus Christ. So thank You, Jesus, for making this possible. Thank You for creating a way for me to connect with the Father. I admit that I've often seen prayer as a duty and not a privilege. Help me to make time this week to be still and focus on You. If you've never accepted the grace of God and asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior and the leader of your life, you can follow me in this prayer. You can say, Lord Jesus, I want to believe in You. You know I have my doubts, and so I pray that You help me with my doubts. Forgive me for what I've done wrong, and as much as I know how, I ask You to come into my heart. I don't understand it all, but I want to follow You faithfully from here on. I want to be connected to You, and it's in Your name I pray. Amen.